How did Hashem do His business? The first thing is what we call initial vision. The initial mission statement. What Kabbalah calls Adam Kadmon. The initial vision of Hashem was what? I want a world. I want a world. That's it. This is what I want. Over there, every detail of history is all part of that word, that sentence, I want a world. That is the vision. Yeah, will. And that's why it's not even called a universe so much, because it's all included and drowned in one quintessential point, and this is called Adam Kadmon. Then you have four worlds. Atzilus, Briya, Yetzirah, Asiya. What is Atzilus? Atzilus, you have the whole world that we live in. You have the entire world in Atzilus. But that's like the detailed vision. The entire world is part of Him. It's as the world exists within His soul. And this is what we mean when we say the world of Atzilus consists of 10 spheres. What does it mean, 10 spheres? You have the whole play, but it's in your mind. In Atzilus, you have the mic, your nose, the apple, the pear, the snowflake, the blade of grass, the animal, the star, the tree, the rose. But it's of a divine essence. It's divine energy. And that's what the word Atzilus means. What does the word Atzilus mean? The word Atzilus comes from the word Eitzel. Nearness. It didn't leave Him. It's a world that's intimately connected with Him. It didn't detach from Him. So what are the Esospheres? The Esospheres are the characteristics that really give rise to everything that exists in this world. But it's this entire world as it is still consumed and swallowed up and submerged within the divine essence. What does it mean? You have all the props, you have all the characters, you have all of the components, but they are all in your, they're part of your brain energy, they're part of your soul energy. You have there the whole world as they are, so to speak, part of Hashem's infinite energy. His energy assumes these properties, like your mind power assumes these properties in your brain. And this is what Esospheres are. This is what Atzilus is. Then you have Briya. Briya creates a world. There's already a world outside of Him. And this is like when you put on a piece of paper the first draft. But it's a world that still reflects the initial vision. It's a world that is still totally in sync and reflects the identity of Atzilus. Then you have Yetzirah. What's Yetzirah? Formation. What's formation? You take the creation and you format it. You take a skeleton and you develop it and you format it into a detailed blueprint. And then we have Asiya, which is where everything assumes physical properties and physical dimensions like our world. So any given object or entity exists in the world of Asiya. We know it, we touch it, we look at it, we feel it. It exists in the world of Yetzirah, where it's spiritual. It exists in the world of Briya, where it reflects the divine essence of it even more. And it exists in the world of Atzilus. And it also exists in the world of Adam Kadmon. The Alter Rebbe once expressed himself, the Alter Rebbe once said, in Yiddish he said, "Afayidin daf men kukin v'yashteit in machshava hagduma d'Adam Kadmon." You have to look at a Yid as he is situated in the primordial thought of primordial man. What does it mean? I could look at you. I could look at you as you're situated in Asiya. I could look at you as you exist in Adam Kadmon. You exist in Adam Kadmon. Yeah. The Baal Shem Tov once expressed himself. The Baal Shem Tov once, talking about divine providence, he said that if a wind blows in the middle of the day, and a leaf on a tree is blown by the wind, and it falls to the ground, and it begins rolling down the sidewalk or down the road, and then it stops at a specific location. So the Baal Shem Tov said, that entire process of this leaf being moved by this wind and ending up in this particular location, in this particular road, at this particular second, all of it is intrinsic and necessary to machshava hakduma d'adam kadmon. The initial vision included the turning of this leaf during this day. Now, all these five levels come from a sixth. And what is that? What precedes will? Identity. What gives rise to a general vision in the first place, that then gives rise to a detailed vision, that then gives rise to a general blueprint, that then gives rise to a detailed blueprint, that then ends up and culminates in implementation? What gives rise to the original vision? Your identity, your innate identity. What inspires this vision? What inspires me to write a book that will express this theme? What inspires this person to create such a type of business? His identity. So now you have the sixth level, the Ayir Ein Sof, the innate identity, so to speak, expression of Hashem, in which there was the initial will and vision for the creation of the world. And that's beyond the Tzimtzum. Now we'll be able to understand, I think, much better what Alter Rebbe is saying. In the metaphor of a person, we don't feel so much the tzimtzumim, the contractions that have to take place between one stage and another stage. When we're talking about Hashem, even from Ayir Ein Sof, from the innate identity of Hashem, to Adam Kadmon, to the initial vision of the world, and then from the initial vision of the world to the world of Atzilus, there's a major, major tzimtzum. But those are all tzimtzumim within godliness itself. Within godliness itself. The very fact that in Hashem's endless identity, there should be felt the scenes of a play and the props and the characters of a world which is chesed, gvura, tiferes, netzach, chayit yisoy, that should be experienced within his identity. That is because his essential light is being obscured, contracted, deeply limited. And thus it allows for godliness to perceive and to assume dimensions and properties that can then give rise to a world, even though it's in godliness itself. But that's all a symptom within godliness. And the spheres in godliness don't have an identity of their own. You have a world, but the world never has a self-consciousness. The world of Atzilus bespeaks the fact that there's nothing outside the endless expression of Hashem. But that itself necessitates a tzimtzum, but that's not the tzimtzum I'm addressing, the Alter Rebbe is primarily addressing here. The real powerful tzimtzum occurs from Atzilus to Bria. Because here, for the first time in history, is created a reality that feels itself as an identity outside of Hashem. Till then, the world existed only as part of his infinity. In other words, what is the definition of the world of Atzilus? Godly spheres, godly characteristics, divine love, divine rejection, and so on and so forth. That there should be generated a new reality that shouldn't experience itself as part of Hashem's infinity. For this, Hashem had to deny his natural, his innate self-expression, and to have Bria, and then to have Yetzirah even more, and then to have Asiyah much more. So these are the three general tzimtzumim outside of godliness that give rise to identity as we know it, until the identity of us physical creatures with our personality, our problems, our complexities, and so on and so forth. Zogd Alter Rebbe. Yeah. Generally speaking, yeah. The Tzimtzum HaRishon, the first Tzimtzum, he doesn't address here. At least not specifically. The first Tzimtzum is the one, thank you, is the one that happened in Ayir Ein Sof, before Adam Kadmon even. Certainly before Atzilus, it's even before the worlds that transcended Atzilus. But even those Tzimtzumim have something in it that these Tzimtzumim don't have. And that's why, in a way, these are more powerful. In a way, not in a way, yes. And that is, those are all Tzimtzumim in godliness. Atzilus is a likus mamish. That godliness should assume properties of spheres. Properties that will give rise to snowflakes. And a world as we know it, that itself requires a major, major Tzimtzum. After Atzilus, you're dealing with a whole new type of tzimtzum. Zog the Alter Rebbe, this is all an introduction. The tachlis kol tzimtzumim hu, and the purpose of all of the contractions, hu kedei livrei gufa adam hachumri, is to create the crude human body. The purpose of all of the contractions was one purpose. That my body and your body and your body, our crude body should be created. And to subjugate the sitra achira, the other side. The side of crudeness, of unholiness. To bring about the extraordinary light that emerges from darkness. To bring light around this, to bring about this type of light. This was the purpose of all of the tzimtzum. How does this light come about? Bahalos Adam. When a person elevates, esnaf sheyalik, his divine soul, vahachiyunis, and his biological soul, uluvushay, and then their garments, their instruments of expression, which are thought, speech, action, together with all of the powers of the body. He elevates all of these elements, Lashem levade, to Hashem alone. Keniskel el barich, as has been discussed earlier at length, thus comes about this extraordinary light that is born only from darkness. If our world would never emerge, and our bodies would never exist, and sitra achira, an unholy side, would not exist, we would all experience, even if we were in Bria or Yetzira, certainly in Atzilus, a luminescent, harmonious, beautiful, revealed, divine light. Hashem created all of these tzimtzumim to produce a crude body. Why? So the Alter Rebbe says that there should be born a light that comes from darkness. Because a light that is born from the midst of a condition of darkness has a powerful energy to it that does not exist in regular light. What does this mean? What is the Alter Rebbe saying? When a Jew in this world struggles to serve Hashem, and he experiences resistance and tensions and battles and wars, and he has to constantly battle with the crudeness and the coarseness and the darkness that exists within him, within his psyche, within his body, within his environment. And from the midst of this war and this tension bursts out the light that comes from his soul and the light that comes from godliness within the world. This light that exists in this Jew service of Hashem has a magic. It has a glow. It has a splendor to it that can only exist in a light that emerges from the backdrop of darkness. So the darkness in our life gives the light that we produce a flavor, a color, a depth, an energy that light would never have on its own. So the Alter Rebbe says this is the purpose of all of the contractions, all of the limitations and the self-denial and obscuring of his endless light, is that it should produce a crude body. And therefore the Jew should have to struggle and have this resistance and tension that we have to have with the ugliness and darkness within ourselves. And the light that bursts out from that is a whole different, it's a magical light, it's a different type of light. You're saying that's only the need of God. Yeah. A Jew in his way, a non-Jew in his way. The Alter Rebbe doesn't get into the details. A Jew in his way, a non-Jew in his way. Everybody has the purpose. There's no question. And Alter Rebbe says, "Kizat tachlis ishtalshlus ha'ilamus." For this is the purpose of the progressive descent and evolution of the worlds. The whole purpose of one world evolving from another world, as described above at length, was what? That this physical world and our physical bodies, our crude bodies, should be created, and a Jew should come and make a revolution within his body and within the physical world. He should declare war against the crudeness and the bruteness and the ugliness and the aridity, the darkness of his nature and of the world's nature, and to reveal from the depths of his soul and from the depths of the world the divine energy. So naturally, innately, everything should have been godliness or an expression of infinite godliness. That's the natural thing. Why did Hashem transform the whole reality and the whole history and the whole evolution of everything? So that you and I should live in our own corner, in our abode, in our physical domain where we live, and serve Hashem there. And thus produce a whole different type of light. A light that comes, as mentioned, from the backdrop of resistance of darkness. Yes? You see, the chet happened. The fact there was a possibility for chet. You're asking, what about before the chet eitz hadas? There was a possibility for sin. True, through the sin it became even coarse, the condition of his body in the world. But the very fact there was a possibility for sin. And that's true about each of our lives, in even a greater way than before the Eitz Hadas. But the fact is that to serve Hashem in our world and in our day and our age and in our identity is a struggle between light and darkness. There's a major dimension of our personality that totally eclipses spirituality, idealism, godliness, a higher light, a higher reality, and the human being has that tension and that resistance he constantly has to deal with. But in this elevation, in this subjugation of Sitra Achira, lay the purpose of everything, of the entire evolution of the worlds.
When you said initially that David's first idea way back then was to make a world, so is it now we're saying make a world plus?
That's why I hesitated there. Very good. The initial vision has to have a second sentence in it. The initial vision is not only I want a world. I want a world that will be revolutionized. That's the initial vision. I want a world that will be elevated, that will be spiritualized. I want darkness that will fuel light. I want darkness. I want a dark world that will fuel a new will give momentum to a new type of light. That's what I want. That's the initial vision. Very good.
When you discuss the union of the darkness, so is it just in the general scheme or every person?
Every person. He's talking about every person's darkness. Every person's darkness. If we wouldn't live in the world of Asiya, we wouldn't have this type of darkness. Godliness would be revealed, expressed, serving Hashem, the souls and angels in Atzilus. For them, serving Hashem, that's the only it in their life. It's still a compromise of Atzilus. It's still diluted of Atzilus. But that's the only reality. In this world, to serve Hashem requires a constant dealing with yourself. You're challenging your nature. You're challenging your brain. You're challenging your fear, your laziness, your biological system, your makeup, your chemistry. There's always tension, and there's security and insecurity and fear and anxiety and stress and doubts and despair, and that. And what is happening? So Alter Rebbe said, in this struggle, when the Jew transcends, he fights, he pierces through the dense curtains, and he reveals a light. This light that produced from the backdrop of this darkness has a magic. The godliness that is experienced in the davening, in a mitzvah, in the spiritual life of a Jew on earth, coupled with all the setbacks and the failures and the problems and the complexities from within, from without, this glow of light just has a magic that made it all worth it. Not the same type. Not after Mashiach, it's not the type. No. That's chapter 36. Well, let's not get into it. This is already post-Mashiach chapters. Yeah.
We had spoken before, like years before.
Years ago, yeah. Before the Tzimtzum we spoke.
The idea was, I understood that the Ra, or the idea of Ra B'chal, didn't happen until all the way near the end, until where it came that you could even have like a desires and whatever, but look, the idea
Perich of
that I thought was that there was no even Shemetz, even anything of Ra until you got way down at the end of the thing.
Yes.
Here we're saying that somehow Ra is even in the beginning of the Eibishter, that there was existence of some sort of ra way.
You want to know if there was an existence of evil in the worlds of Briya Yitzira? You can't call that evil. The souls and angels in Briya, you can use the word ra. Well, the ra he's referring to in the Tachlis is the Guf Adam HaChumri. He doesn't say the word ra. They're just the concealment on godliness. The evil, there's two types of evil. There's evil we refer to as evil, as a criminal evil that shatters us and shocks us. But he doesn't use the word evil. Here he's talking about the darkness, just the physicality. The challenge it places on us to live up to our souls. This darkness produces the next stage of evil, which is pure evil, and then that evil produces a lower evil until the worst evils that we are witnesses of, particularly lately in our world. But it all begins from the fact that godliness is concealed. This is chapter 22. He discusses the many tzimtzumim. You have klipas naiga, and you have shal klipas atmeis. But that's already in Asiya itself. Of course.
Which part is this?
The four levels of interpreting Torah. Pshat Rem is Drush Sod. There's four levels of interpreting every pasuk, every mitzvah, every gemara, every halach, every story. The literal interpretation corresponds to the world of Asiya. Then there's the interpretation according to Remez, which is the homiletical interpretation. It corresponds to the energy of Yitzira. Then there's Drush, the more... The intricate exeges and so forth corresponds to Briya, and Kabbalah, esoteric dimension, corresponds to Atzilus. What means correspond? The Torah exists in all four worlds. You read a piece of Gemara, Shnaya Mechzim B'Talus, yeah?
Yes.
What's a Talus? In Atzilus, a Talus is one of the godly spheres. You have the props, just like Lahavdil in the play, you have the props as they are in Asiya, in Yitzir, in Briya, in Atzilus, right? The same thing. So you're learning Shnayim Mechzim B'Talos in the beginning of Baba Metziah, or Arbav is Nezikin. There are four types of damages in the beginning of Baba Kama. An ox, a pit, a human being, and fire. What's an ox? What's a bull? What's a pit? A bull in here. We know what a bull is in this world. What's a bull in Yetzirah? What's a bull in Bria? What's a bull in Atzilus? A bull in Atzilus is a different bull. And Takid, Arizal has Svarim, in which he explains Mishnayos in Kabbalah. It's not a joke, it's not a pshetel. On the contrary, Torah evolves, and in each world, that's the truth.
And Hasidus is an aspect of Hasidus. I mean, you use the word Kabbalah, so I could say, Hasidus is also Nichlal within this.
It says that Hasidus is the fifth level. Hasidus is the fifth level.
Something other than Hasidus.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is the quintessential vision that encompasses Atzilus, Briya, Yetzirah, Asiya. That's why the Rebbe has a brilliant, brilliant essay. It's called Kuntus in Yanos Oteres HaChsidus. On the essence of Chsidus, it's been translated in English also. He explains there at length that Chsidus enriches Pshat, Remez, Drush, Sod without negating any of them. Because when the fifth level is emerged, the initial vision... So everything is livened up with a new life. The energy that Chassidus introduces into anything on any level is the energy of the fifth level. In the soul, there are also these five levels. There's Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, corresponds to Atzilus through Asiya, and Yechidah corresponds to the worlds above Atzilus. The quintessential essence of the soul. And it's still, and then there's an essence beyond that, before the Tzimtzum. Yeah.
I wanted to ask.
That would mean that learning Hasidus would be able to schlep out the Yechidah that it was not pogged by the Chid of other Marishan.
Yeah. Glada, yes.
So that means that we have a chelik in bringing out this chelik of the Neshama.
Yeah, that's why Mashiach told the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov has a letter from the year Tovkov Zion, 1746. He writes a letter. It's published in a few Svarim, say for Ben Paris Yosef and other Svarim. He writes a letter to his brother-in-law, Reb Gershon Kitever, and in the letter he writes that Rosh Hashanah, Tovkov Zayin, 1746, he went up to the chamber of Mashiach, and he asked Mashiach, Emosaik Asi Mar, when are you finally going to come? And Mashiach told him, L'chshe Yafutzu Meinesech HaChutzah, when your wellsprings will be spread out, will conquer the world. And that became the mission statement of the Baal Shem Tov. What's the connection of this to Mashiach? So this is what you're saying, because Yichsidus has the energy of Yichida in it, and therefore it introduces into the world. That's fifth level.
Yeah.
You read that Klipas Noga exists in the higher world. It's true.
Right. So is that just another part of the Tzimtzum process?
Yeah, but when you talk about Klipas Noga in those worlds, it's a different level of Klipas. It's the source of Klipas Noga in this world. It's a much higher level of Klipas Noga. So to speak. It's the blueprint of Klipas Noga. There's a shell, but it's totally on a different
paper, it's not an evil thing yet. It's not a horrible reality yet. It's just on paper.
Yeah.
Yeah. David Mel is a neshama that's in Atzilus and also in Asiya at the same time. Or this is something like this.
David Hamelech. Okay, it's later. Ready? We'll stop here. And Mr. Shem will continue. Now that this is the introduction to what Alter Rebbe wants to continue, the continuation of the chapter, which we will learn next week. Have a good night and a wonderful week.
We talked about that there wasn't any thought of Sitcha Acher until the world of Asiya.
No Metzias of Sitcha.
No Metzias of Sitcha Acher until the world of Asiya, right? Here we're saying that there's even a concept of Sitcha Acher even in Davis's original thought.
For me, he made it.
That's the tachlis.
Yeah, of course.
The chapter Sitcha Acher. So,
of course, yeah. Who said there was no Sitcha? No. That's a different type of Sitcha Acher there. Over there, the Sitcha Acher is just...
No, I'm not talking about what it looks like. This tachlis is originally called Manus.
Sitcha Acher. Yeah. So mele sitrachra also, yeah. Les kafi le sitrachra.
It's not a... You don't find that as a... The way I... Maybe it's me. I just understood that the sitra achra...
The metzias of sitra achra emerged only in Asiya. The reality...
Okay, but the original thought there was...
That's a different type of sitra achra. That's sitra achra...
All the way back in his mind.
With Hashem's tachlis to be destroyed. Okay. To be subjugated. You understand what I'm saying?
I have to think about it. Because the Sitcha that he's thinking in Tachos is the Sitcha Acher of
Messiah.
It's not that he's not thinking about the Sitcha Acher in Adam Kadmon.
Yeah.
He's not thinking about
it. There's no Sitcha Acher there, and you don't call it.
That's
no.
What I'm saying. He's not thinking about the Sitcha Acher. He's thinking about the Sitcha Acher
in Messiah. Yeah.
So I'm just I'm not asking that. We said that there was nothing.
The Metzias of it.
Metzias,
of course, the reality of Sitcha Acher L'Poyel as detached from Hashem's plan of it, that can occur only in the midst of a major, major concealment. And that exists only in Asiya, where the light is so concealed that it's not only in Yetzirah, the light is concealed. You don't have an infinite expression. In Bria, you don't have an infinite expression, you have a finite expression. But it's revealed. Godliness is revealed. In Yetzirah, it's even a more finite expression. So they feel themselves more. But they feel themselves all as being created by Hashem, sustained by Hashem. The question is to what level. In Bria is a deeper bittle, Yetzirah is a smaller bittle. In Bria is the bittle of Chabad, and Yetzirah is the bittle of emotions. Chabad is much more bittle than emotions. Emotions, you feel yourself. Even when you love somebody and you're crazy about somebody, me loving them, and seichel, you can be totally nullified. In Asiya is a whole new chiddush. You don't even have to know there's an Eibush to bechlal. It's not limited, not non-limited, not sustaining, not creating. There's only me. So, but till Asiya, you bechlal can't. You can't.
This one person somebody is bothering me all summer. Trying to figure out if you hold something, you should like it, should die.
Yeah.
So that means that. the Eivish really was, there was never any Tzimtzum. That's what it really means, right?
From his perspective.
But the Eivish's perspective is the real perspective, right?
No, but
so
he created.
How did he get her world?
No, no. In other words, from his perspective on his own, but he allows for our perspective. He allows for our perspective.
So we're going back to the same thing that we're all in the tree. I mean, from the Abishtha perspective, if there's no world,
Hashem wanted it to be our perspective, and from our perspective is significant to him. Our perspective was allowed by him, and it's significant to him.
So in our perspective, the reality is that there wasn't.
Yes. There's like two realities. There's two truths. Yeah.
In our world, the Taka wasn't.
Yes.
It's just in his reality that's when.
Yeah. There's two truths.
Okay. So the English.
It's two truths.
Okay, so when they say Tzimtzum, Shalakim Pshutei, when they say that there really was no Tzimtzum, yeah, that was only in the
Eivishter. Rebbe Teitsch is a gewaldic word. It says in Hushir, in Chanashir, Kael Deis Hashem V'loi Niskinu Alilis. Kael Deis Hashem. So literally it means Hashem is a God of Deis. To say it's the Vesalts. It says in Tikkun Ezer, Kael Deis, Kael Deis, yeah. Kael Deis, or the Deis Tnein. What does it mean? So the Rebbe says, Kael Deis Tnein, Das Elyon and Das Tachten. Beide is Kael. Beide is an Nemes. Kael Deis Hashem, he encompasses two perspectives. One is Das Elyon, in which Tzimtzum is not Kepshutei, and Bemela, nothing ever happened. Einoid Muvadei, always. Ani Hashem Leishon Nisi. And that's not felt in the world at all. And then there's Das Tachten. Das Tachten is already a different word. Das Tachten is that there's a world, there's a Yesh. It's just that the Yesh is totally dependent on the Eibushter and doesn't have a Metzias b'fnei Atzma v'chuli v'chuli. And both are Remes. One is Shema Yisrael, one is Baruch Shem. They're both Remes. Now it's the first one is Atu Hu Atchalein Atu. To put it in the context of the other prakim of Tanya, you have the Kayach HaDibur, you remember Chav Chafal, if you have the Kayach HaDibur, you have the Nefesh HaMedaber. Now the Rebbe says that when your letters are still in you, in your emotions, they don't have an identity. Yeah. So what's Pshat? Atzilus is Sviris. Atzilus is Vayomer, Asarim Amaris Keneged Esa Sviris. Chesed, Gvura. There's the union of Rakia, there's the union of Nasa Adam, there's the union of Behemoth. Yeah. As it's in the Eibushter. When the Dibur is Nichlal in the Etzim of the Medaber, you don't feel the Dibur. So that Atzilus should feel itself as a world, there had to be a Tzimtzum already. You understand what I'm saying? But that's all a Tzimtzum in Elikus. From the bleak vul of Elikus, how he is on his own. Which is totally higher than Isis and Dibudim and Svidis and this. Just that he should experience in his thoughts, so to speak, props of a scene, even though it's godly. Chesed, Gvura, Teferes. He has to contract himself. He has to identify within himself properties of Svidis. That identification is called Tzimtzum. And what says Leikub Shutei? Leikub Shutei means what he says in Chafal, that the Dibur Taka never left him. So even in the space of Atzilus, he still have he himself. But in the world of Atzilus, they don't feel that already. They. It's a Lekos Kirill that doesn't feel. In Briya is already another Indian. In Briya is the Dibur creates something. In Atzilus, you have the Eibishter's Dibur, Mernisht. Hashem's Koyecha Dibur. To identify a Kayach HaDibur within a Medaber is a Tzimtzum. To identify letters, the letters of the Medaber within your emotions, is already a Tzimtzum. It's not natural. You have to go away from your emotions and identify it. And that Helam is Shalekab Shutta. Atzilus Tabri is a different Varta already. He speaks a world. What type of world? A world that feels the Dibur, a world that experiences the Dibur, a world that.
Like you said, when the words left him, Ke'ilu when the words leave
him. Ke'ilu the words left him. Ke'ilu the words left him. And the words create something. And Mamel is a bitl, and then you'd say, there's even a greater symptom of a chuli. Till I see you, you don't see no words, you don't see no speaker, you don't see anything.
One question. question that I heard on and I just wanted to get your opinion.
Also, I just want to say, people, if, when you learn a lot, you have to realize this. When you say there was a tzimtzum, no tzimtzum, the tzimtzum happened. Doesn't mean there was no event called tzimtzum. It's not like at a certain point, Abraham says, okay, boom, he took a drill, he drilled through his light, he took the light, he mixed it with wine and water, and it's now a lighter light. He put it in a laboratory, he came out with the light. Tzimtzum is not an event. Tzimtzum is just terms we use, you want to say, like this. You could perceive reality in 200 different ways, yeah? Hashem allowed there to be this definition of reality. That's called tzimtzum. You understand what I'm saying? It's just, in other words, if...
Like four different pshatim in a Rashi.
Like four pshatim in a Rashi.
So it happened. It's not a contiguous, you're saying it's not a contiguous, it wasn't a contiguous.
Yeah, it didn't...
Tzimtzum, like we're thinking.
Even, it's not even an event. It's not, they did something, made it we call it an event because we want to describe something that happened. Yeah. But it's not something that happened. He allowed reality to be experienced in different ways. Not quite. It's not before, after. So, at one point,
that's it. Everything happened with four visions of it.
He allowed that. Bria Sa'ila means the Eberstadt allowed for reality to be Isaiah and Isaiah and Isaiah. That's what it means. He was Mitzamtzim himself.
One guy does something, and then four guys have a different shot of what the guy did.
He made it Tzimtzum to be able to be Ak. What says he made it Tzimtzum to be able to be Ak? Well, he drilled his light and a galaxy called Ak came out. It's not a galaxy came out. The Eberstadt allowed for there was a perception called Adam Kadman. He allowed for such a perception. It's a chiddush, that perception. No. No, no, it's a perception. Ruchnis is not something you can touch. No. No. But you could look at a yid like from Achshav Agdim Adak. Huh? No, that Rebbe Zak Medav Kukenaf a yid as I. So Nishkin Chiv Kukenaf Yad Azak Machshav Agdim Adak. Zak Medav Kukenaf a yid as I.
He said it because he wanted to show
the Chivis of every yid. I made a copy. He was Mazbe de Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Mishnah that Lamed Zayin called him a Kayim Nefesh Achas Miyisrael Ki Ilu Kiyim Eilam Malay. So he tells you what the pshat. Afayidaf Mekukim V'yashteit Machshav Agdum Medaak U'dorten Shteit Yedin Neshama Mit Alla Deiriz V'skumen Areis V'nit Biz Biyas HaMashiach Geil Tzedek U'naz Min Tut Ayid Na Teva Tut Man Ateva Di Alla Neshama At Seif Kala Deiriz. That's the word. I do you a favor. He tells you, what's Eilam Mali? Eilam Mali doesn't only mean you're the whole world. Eilam Mali means taka. You're an Eilam Mali, because as you're Machshava Gduma Da'ak, so your Nesham is with all the datas that come from you and until after Mashiach. So may I do you a favor if I look at you as you're Machshava Gduma Da'ak. So it affects 2,000 generations.
It affects all the world still.
But that's what the
idea of Adam Kadmon.
And meint the chassis na zayn again a veda appeal. Was meint man zol tana teva zayn? Das meint. Kans kuk na fa behema. Das toch is tana a behema a teva. Das toch adin shoch msay. Das toch. Sie nicht ne geya zu haben der Geschmack in teva tana behema. Du tust a teva zu alle deiris behema zu a teva kala deiris. Fine, it's not a hate, wills tracht. See, by Yiddish, it's a gay, it's a tracht, no, sir. It's a dare in us.
What's
happened in the Marshall? It's a few things, a par zachen. First, the Rebbe Rashab only brings two pratim. He brings two pratim of the Marshall. The initial vision and the detailed vision. And the etzim. He brings three. He doesn't do Bri Yitzirasi, but it's obvious because he calls it like this. He calls Keser, the Olam Mishal Maila Matzilis, he calls Tchilas HaMachshava. Atzilis he calls Seifa Machshava. You have it worked out. And then it's obvious, now starts the next stage. And the Etzem, Lamaila of Tchilas HaMachshava, is what gave rise to the Ratzin for Bri Yisraelim, and that... That's what he says.
First of all, the problem with the mashal is that in his mashal it has to be a consecutive thing, but in Avishta it's not.
A. And B, in the mashal, Bria, Atzilus is more detailed than Bria in a way. You could say not, in other words. Atzilus has everything in Bria in your own mind. No, it's Lav Dafka. You could say Atzilus has everything in Bria, but it's in your mind. What's incomplete with the Marshal?
It's incomplete.
Oh, no,
it's incomplete. I saw that you said the Dafka, but it's incomplete.
But I just told you it's incomplete. It's not, it's incomplete because it's consecutive.
Okay, fine.
Consecutive.
Why? I said it, because Rabbi Alter will hear the tape, and he'll find me 10 problems with the Marshal. So Mela had to be fun in it. That's why.
I heard over the summer tape somebody said that our world is made up of existential set.
Yes.
Is that correct? Existential set. You had ideas and you have players. This is one existential set of the Eivishter. He says that it's possible even, and it's none of our business, that there's Davishta in his spare time has other worlds. It's nothing to do with what does Chabad say about
who said this? Amagachia said this? I mean,
this was
Rabbi Katzin.
Rabbi Katzin said. I don't know what he said. I don't know where he said.
Other what? Other physical worlds or other ruchnis to come?
He said there could be Davishta. He was talking about how we have no hasag of what the Avishta is. Because he said that all the terms that we know of, the Avishta created, and the Mela, so our world, he created terms, and then he created beings that relate to those terms and whatever, but that's only the terms that the Avishta created for this world. He could have created another world or a zillion other worlds, a different existential sets. That blue can mean something else there, and blue can mean a river. I don't know, even know. You know, he can have infinite worlds he create that has no shaykhus to our world. It's none of our business, and it's none. It's like none of our business what David does in his spare time. He said that was, I think, that was the question that he.
Somebody just wanted to say that we have a tefillah in the zach, not that
I'm not saying that there is or not. He didn't say whether there is or there wasn't.
But who's going to see their work? Like, let's say he does, let's say he doesn't. I mean, God is not, I can't talk with the will, you know, like,
what does he want to say? He wanted to show how little shyness we have of the akbar of the goddess of David. No, but I'm just saying, this was ever talked about in the Chabad.
It's spoken about, I don't know, this signan mamash. Yeah, it says that Eibishter could have made other. It says he could have made Olamus Ein Sof, and in one place I think it even says there are Olamus Ein Sof. The Ma'is is in Chabad is one Hadgasha that the Tachlis of all the Olamus is this world. That's a big fetch in Chassidus. How do we know that? We don't. The Torah says. I mean, on our own we wouldn't know. I mean, what would we know? Without Matan Torah we wouldn't know anything.
Right.
I mean. We would know Mamala Kalam.
The Avishta decided to give the world to us and not remain by the Malachim and having the world's.
Yeah, that's Matan Torah.
That was the title, right? That's what you said. You said that tape like 13 or something like that.
Perek Dalet. The end of Dalet.
Okay.
A gute Nacht. A freilige Woche. What? It's just a hakdam em bit. We'll learn next week. No, but the charis bringing a ganze word. In a ava, na ye sart ava. The chalz prakim from a malav. The chalz dargis in ava. It's a whole different type of ava. No, it's a whole new word in avaydi. Says, I wanted to do it this week. Chfarat with atzilus. A whole word with kamayim aponim laponim. That's a gevaldik word. They must have a chaveglek to their mach. And after that, a chaveglek in sam mach. If Bria was a bitui von is deiner Weide Hashem can sein a bitui von dir. Bald aber Bria sei Elam, sie machen dir. Hat er sich weggelegt, he so to speak sacrificed himself. Because mitzad him, There would never be a welt just for you, that you should have a shaykhis with him. He sacrificed himself. So you, kamayim upon al upanam, a person should respond the same way. It's a different type of av.
It's because of his will.
What does noyach leshalinim? Noyach means easier, not better. It's easier, not better.
It's also from the early
Shiram. It's this whole mice. Because the Torah parashas, it says, it doesn't say. See, you mean he sacrifices for himself?
Yeah, it's a sacrifice for his will, for his purpose.
Yeah, but the purpose itself is the chnishta, it's a chesed. It's a chesed, but. That's not a chiddush of Tanya that Bria Yisraelim was a chesed. It says in all Svarim. So what's pshat? It's for his purpose. Upon him, asat ha-mamash nishta izgefelt. Or does it ha-mamash izgefelt, satan chesed. Whatever you're going to touch it. Giluy of it. The giluy of it.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.